Fastnet Radio, down on the dock with the first monohull to tie up here, and it's Ian Walker's Abu Dhabi. Ian, brand new boat, a brand new campaign almost. You must be pleased.
Oh, absolutely thrilled. It doesn't feel much like Abu Dhabi down here at Plymouth this morning at 8 o'clock, I can tell you. It's all smiles. This is the first race for the team, first race for the new boat. And well, what a way to start, not only winning the race but breaking the record. So I don't think it's really sunk in yet.
No, the course record for monohull, and as you say, a team which really you've put together, well, not scratch, but you know, very early yet, you know, in terms of experience together.
Oh, for sure. This is probably only the sixth day or something that we've all actually sailed together. Some of us have sailed together before. And it's been a real struggle to try and get the boat in a fit state to start the race. It's a brand new boat. We've also sailed it from Italy to Southampton and Cowes via Portugal in the month since it's been afloat. So bizarrely enough, we've actually done probably nearly 4,000 miles in the boat, so we're getting used to her slowly.
Well, tell us about the race. It was a fascinating start, wasn't it, in the Solent, packed full of boats.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great atmosphere at the start, and so I saw quite a few friends and family out on Ribs watching, and tons of people on Hurst, by Hurst Castle as well. And it's just such a sight, just the big powerful boats, the Volvo 70s and the, you know, Leopard and Rambler are just such powerful beasts, and it's just so tight. Trying to sail a big boat in such a confined space is quite hard work, and not really appreciated by those watching. So it's very nerve-wracking on board, and everything gets funneled into Hurst, and then we just get spat out into Christchurch Bay, and then you have to pick your way through 300 smaller boats who have got all the same rights as you do to be out there and make your life difficult.
Absolutely. And of course, you are always thinking with the depth of this boat as well. Solent is fairly shallow in places, so you're a little bit limited where you can go.
Well, that's right. And it's funnily enough, it makes it easy in some regards. When you're in a boat that draws 4.5 meters, like Abu Dhabi, it means you stay in the shipping channel, to be quite blunt. It's much harder when you've got a 3 meter keel, and then you have to work out when you can get over the banks and when you don't. For us, it's relatively simple. You stay in the deep water, but the price you pay if you don't. Is too big to think about.
So a beat down the channel, at what point did you realise you're going to do well?
Well, we made a nice start. We took the best of the tide on the Cowes shore and didn't quite get across Rambler. Had to put a couple of tacks in, and but soon got in the lead of the 70s, I guess, which was our main concern. Then we had a keel problem with this generator stalled, swinging the keel, so we got sucked back in. Didn't cross Sanya, had a bit of a ding-dong with them, but got back in front and then stretched quite nicely, to be honest, between there, and it was a beat all the way to start point. And we were going well, boat felt really nice, and Group Armour got tangled up with Sanya, and we were able to stretch away a bit.
And then, you know, a very nice run to the fastnet, I would think.
Yeah, we lost about 2 or 3 miles. We couldn't work out why, and in the end we pulled the daggerboards up, and we must have had weed on the daggerboards, So we'd lost everything that we'd gained up until that point in the race. After that, things went quite nicely for us. We set up just to the west of Sanya. They just clipped Land's End. We were further west and right by the Scilly Isles, and managed to get ahead, but lost it all in the sail change at the Fastnet Rock, which is just a function of these boats. We actually did a very good sail change, but if you change your sail, you end up having to slow down to do so, and if you slow down by, you know, 8 or 10 knots of boat speed for half an hour, you lose 4 or 5 miles, and that was the difference.
That's a big gap, yes. Of course, big news at Fastnet, or just afterwards, Rambler capsized, canting keels. You know, that's always a bit of an Achilles heel for some of the constructors, isn't it? It's a weak point, or can be a weak point.
It can be, but I mean, there haven't been a lot of problems recently, and you know, one can think of other fixed keel boats that have the keels fallen off, so I'm not sure it's just down to the swing keel, but you know, that boat is an incredibly powerful boat, and those guys sail it very hard. They're, you know, we've got a lot of friends on board, and we were quite upset by the news, especially Andrew Lewis, who's often sailed on that boat. Nobody likes to see that happen, and just thank God everybody's safe.
Absolutely. And did you see them?
I'm amazed we didn't. I have to admit, when I read that it had happened, I was astounded, because we went around in daylight and we must have only been an hour behind them. So, yeah, I'm amazed. And not only that, I didn't see helicopters or didn't see any sign of it. So I am amazed. And well, thank God it wasn't us, and thank God everybody was safe.
Yes, absolutely. Of course, a rig that's, or the boat that's upside down, is much more difficult to spot than the big rig that you would normally expect to see. So, yeah.
No, that's true. It's it was quite bumpy there. I guess there was must have been a 3 or 4 meter swell. It gets quite choppy by the rock as the depth comes up, and it's a nasty piece of sea, as we all know, which is why this race is the challenge that it is, and it's why we all want to do it.
Well, it's only a challenge and you've won it. Tell us about then the last leg, which is Bear Away at the Fastnet Rock. Well, Pantaneous Boy.
Yeah, so we actually, so Group Arma overtook us just before the rock. We then clawed back into them by Pantaneous, and then on the next leg, it was, you know, they did a good job. We footed lower to try and pull bearing and get ahead, which we did. I think we went to like a 2 or 3 mile advantage over them. But they always had height, and in the end they rolled back over the top. And I'm not sure exactly, but I think they were probably 4 or 5 miles ahead, maybe 15 minutes ahead at the Scilly Isles.
And how did you get in front then? And what sort of speed are you doing?
Well, I guess we are averaging around 20 knots, 20, 22 knots, something like that. It, you know, it wasn't wide enough to be really fast, but sometimes you picked up on the waves, and we did touch 30 on occasion. So, I mean, it was really wet at that angle, 90 true, which it was both ways. It's really wet, as you can probably tell from my eyes. So yeah, we had goggles on, and it wasn't particularly pleasant on deck, but it wasn't too cold. Fortunately, the water's warm. And
much sleep?
No, not really. We were careful to get some sleep early on in the race. So after the Scilly Isles, when we were set up for the drag to the rock, got some sleep then, because there wasn't much to be had after that.
Well, it's great to be in here first, and a great start to the campaign. Just very briefly, and tell us how it's all come about, and what the future is here.
Well, this is a whole new venture. You know, Abu Dhabi. I've lived in Abu Dhabi now for nearly a year, and they're trying to promote Abu Dhabi as a sailing destination, as a place to attract sailing events for people, and for people within Abu Dhabi, particularly the local population. They've got a history of dhow sailing and sort of cultural heritage attached to the sea. So they're just trying to reinvigorate that, and the Volvo's their headline project. I'm lucky enough to have been asked to put the team together, and it's a cool place to sail. We train there all winter, and
it's not that cool.
It's not cool right now. It was very good in the winter. Well, I'm absolutely thrilled. I think this will be massive news in Abu Dhabi.
It will be.
I think the only thing that will be the biggest news is this in Abu Dhabi is Manchester City. Maybe we'll knock them off the front page.
Well, congratulations, Ian, and enjoy the winner's spoils here, winning the Fastnet race and a new record. Fantastic start.
Thanks. Yeah, no, absolutely delighted, and you know, thanks to the organisers and sponsors who put this event on, because it is a world class event, and a real highlight of my career to be in this position.
That's great. That's really good. We shouldn't forget, of course, that you've got a team on board.
No, the guys, as you can see, they never stop. I'm stood here talking, but they're, as always, working away, cleaning the boat up, fixing all the life jackets that have gone off. Guys work really hard. Everybody just got up for the last sort of 8 hours of the race. And we sailed it like an inshore race, because we knew it was going to be tight with Group Arma, and you know, they've got a lot of world-class sailors, so I'm especially pleased for them. And actually, to be honest, it's not just the sailors who get the fun of doing the race, it's all the guys who work in the team behind the scenes and put the boat together. So really, really pleased for them. This is the best possible start for Abu Dhabi Ocean Racing.
And you've got some Abu Dhabi born people on board as well.
Yep, had all there. I think that was his first ocean, actually no, it wasn't his first ocean, it was his second ocean race. First Fastnet race, so you'll have to ask him what he thought. It was a bit of a baptism of fire for him, but he's still standing and works hard, and what a lucky chap to win and break the record in your first ever Fastnet race. I think I did my first one on a 36 footer.
Bit different, eh? Yeah. Ian, thanks very much, and enjoy the sports. Well done.
Thank you very much, Steve.